Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Have we ever? It's Friday morning. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
What up, man?
The sun. What up
yeah.
to you? The sun coming up here in Lower Manhattan.
And every time I see this shot early in the morning, it's gorgeous.
It's
really
6 a.m. Yep. That yellow hue coming up over the sun. So it's 6 a.m. in the east. I thought it was about to be midnight for the Raptors last night. You're down 2-0. You lose that game. No team's ever overcome 3-0 ever in the NBA playoffs in a best of seven. But Jay, in a three-point shooting league,
wouldn't it be apropos
that a three by a guy that had just a dozen points comes through, and suddenly that 2-0 hole, the Raptors are finished, somebody else will be the champs. Suddenly it's cut right in half. Third straight night that the NBA has delivered an absolute awesome, stunning finish.
Miscommunication by the Boston Celtics is why Jaylen Brown was pissed off. Jason Tatum, you know, you're supposed to, they were switching everything. You're switching when you actually get screened is what they were doing. And Jason Tatum, for some reason, I don't know if they were in a zone or if they were a man-to-man. It seemed like they were in a man-to-man, but Jason Tatum didn't get screened and just pointed to the opposite side. OG Anunoby was his man, and Toronto, now all of a sudden, is in the series 2-1.
Man, Taco should have jumped, though.
Do something. Taco, wave your arms. You're 7'6".
No, he was waving his arms, but I thought he should have jumped. You know, jump up and down and wave them. He was able to get that ball over there in straight shots. I mean, look at his arms. His arms are up. Catch and shoot, perfect. He pushed that thing, too.
The pass was incredible, though. I mean, the pass, it was like a Tom Brady-like pass from Kyle Lowry over the wings, the 8'4 wingspan of 7'6 Taco Fall right in the pocket of OG Anunoby. That's incredible.
Indeed it was. 1050 TSN there on the call. Jaylen Brown was really upset after the game. You might have heard it in the introduction, but just in case you didn't, here's Jaylen on what he thought about that finish. Suffice to say, he's not pleased.
At the end of the day, you know, we just got to be better as a unit. You know, regardless of what we was in, you know, we had to guard the three-point line. So that was just a f***ing disgrace at the end of the game. That was just terrible. You know, no way we should have lost that game.
Well, that's because OG Anunoby won it real quick in 9 seconds, OG. How about some confidence to take that and stroke it?
Oh, like, because when I shot, I expected to make it. So, like, I don't shoot trying to miss. Like, every shot I shoot, I try to make it. So, I was not surprised because I wasn't surprised.
The Raptors needed to get into the zone in game three, and they came through. Get in the zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Jay, is he right about guarding the three-point line, though? I mean, is that's what you're supposed to do?
Well, yeah, you got to guard three-point line, obviously, you know, in that game situation. But it just came down to, I'm telling you, watching the tape last night, Jason Tatum's just caught in no man's land. OG Anunoby starts in the top left corner of your screen at the three-point line and just literally clears out. And you heard Kyle Lowry say this in the postgame. That play was not designed for OG Anunoby. It was designed for, like, Pascal Siakam to take a game-winning clutch out or Fred VanVleet, right? So the pass over the top, Jason Tatum just losing track of his man when they were switching everything, even though he didn't get screened, ultimately led to OG being wide open. And once again, I mean, that was one – I cannot double down on this more. The pass that you saw Kyle Lowry do over the extended arms of Taco Fall, he delivered the ball right in the shooting pocket. Like, Key, you and I have talked about this as a wide receiver. When a QB is able to place the ball in that sweet spot for you, just over the extended arm of the defender or the safety, like, that's everything, right? Positioning is everything. That pass came right in the pocket, 0.05 seconds left. OG didn't have to move the ball. He caught the ball right in the pocket, quick shot, game over.
Catch and shoot. It's like a handoff in passes when a quarterback is just like a handoff. Mm. And you could catch it. You could do what you need to do. You can run with it. That's why when you see guys run after catch up, that's because they got good quarterbacks that know how to put it right where they want it, you know, right where you want. You want it right here. That way you can just tuck it and move just like a shooter you want so you can catch and shoot.
And how about this? OG Anunoby with the second postseason buzzer beater in Raptor history.
Who was the first? We know it.
Come on.
Last year.
Kawhi Leonard.
The bounce against the Sixers.
There you go.
Changed their organization. By the way, the Raptors swept the Nets in the first round of the playoffs. And we should mention Sean Marks, the Nets general manager. Jay is going to join us at 7:40 a.m. Eastern time. And boy, do we have a ton to get into with him on the hiring of Steve Nash. That's on the way at 7:40 a.m. Eastern. I know you reached out to him immediately after Nash got the job yesterday and he agreed to come on with us.
Yep, I called him yesterday afterwards and was kind of joking with him. Like, how the hell did you guys find Steve Nash? And just said, you know, he did this on the Woj podcast. We're going to play the sound a little bit later coming up after the break. But pretty much just said, hey, look, I've always had a relationship with Steve Nash. Had a relationship with, when I played with him on the Phoenix Suns. I was a guy coming off the bench, built great rapport, stayed in touch over the years. And how about Steve Nash reaching out to him to put his hand in the hat to say, hey, look, I want this opportunity. And next thing you know, Steve Nash is now the next head coach of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in the Brooklyn Nets.
That's an easy one, though, right? If I'm Steve Nash, I'm sitting at home, I'm going, I think I want to coach. You know what? I'm going to call the Nets. But they got two dudes that I think is I can really win some games with. It's going to be real easy for me. He's not diving into a bad situation. He didn't call the Knicks. You know, it's not a bad situation. He called for the Nets, which is a great situation to put himself in.
And hey, version of the Nets.
Yeah, this version of the Nets. Not the version that Jason Kidd had with a bunch of broke-down dudes that was old, that was cast off from Boston.
Let me ask you this, though. Is it easy, though?
No, it's easy, though.
No. It's easy, the thought of, hey, I want to coach these guys. But also, I mean, think about, from a coaching perspective, what easy is means, hey, do I have longevity with this job, right? There's a lot of pressure that comes on Steve Nash.
No, when I say...
So now I look at the Bulls. I'm like, that seems like an easier situation because you know you have to be patient. It's going to take a while.
I want the Nets. I don't know where part... Yeah, I want the Nets job.
Going to Brooklyn?
No, I'm not taking no signs from you. I want this job.
The East River's right there.
I want that job over there, right? That's easy. I got Kyrie Irving. I got Kevin Durant. I got Jacques Vaughn as my lead assistant. That was the head coach before. Now, he could teach me some stuff, how to become a coach. And I know these dudes and their personalities and they feel me. That's an easy job. I don't want a hard job.
That's a hard job. Key,
no, it's not. That's
Key,
easy.
You're supposed to win a world championship your first year after not having any head coaching experience.
I don't know that you're supposed.
Kevin Durant.
I don't know what you're supposed to.
What are expectations in the East?
No, the expectations.
Who's your biggest?
The expectations is for you to get there.
Yes.
But it's an easy job. Man, if them two dudes are healthy and they cooking, it's an easy job.
Okay. We're going to see, you know, if they have some difficult times, how easy it is for a first-year head coach to be underneath the public eye of a team in Brooklyn, New York, to get to the Eastern Conference Finals or to get to the World Championship his first year with zero head coaching experience. It's not easy. I understand it's a job that maybe sounds sexy. It's a difficult job, though, man. That's a tough job.
It's a pressure cooker
yes.
is what it is.
Yes.
But in terms of being able to coach them up, I think that part going to be easy.
Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests, including Nets general manager Sean Marks, and we'll see what he thinks about all the comments from Key and Jay when he joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, 7:40 a.m. Eastern this morning.
I was going to say Steve Nash should bring back the hairstyle, the long hair. He should just bring it back and coach.
Parted in the
hair.
Middle.
Yeah, remember
kind
he had
down
long,
to the ears of shoulder
yeah,
length.
Yeah.
By the way, for those that don't remember, because it's been a bit, Steve Nash, 8-time All-Star, led the league in assists 5 times, 2-time MVP, and in the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame in 2018.
Only eight
Think about
All-Stars?
That. Only 8 All-Stars. Right, right.
I see. It seemed like...
2-time MVP. Weird. 2-time MVP, 8 times leading the league in dimes. So for people that don't think he has the accomplishments, again, he played a long time ago. It was about 15 years ago, Key, when he came up with those back-to-back MVPs. This is a legit hire. And to your point, Jay, Steve Kerr right out of the gate himself, first year, boom, NBA Finals win. Obviously had Durant later, but also was coaching a stacked roster.
And think about if you're Steve Nash. You watched the way Steve Kerr, with no head coaching experience, handled the Golden State situation. You watched the way that he managed the personalities of Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson. You watched the relationship that he built with Kevin Durant. You got a chance to build your own relationship with Kevin Durant throughout that process.
See, it fizzled with Durant, though, right? With Kerr and Durant, eventually it fizzled a little bit, though, right?
That's on the back end. That's on the back end.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't want to push down Steve Kerr and what he's done for Golden State.
Let's stop there for a second. Finals 2015, first year, 2016, 2017, 2018, losing to the Raptors. I mean, so right out of the gate, nothing but success.
But when I say to you that this job is a pretty good job in terms of this should be easy. Steve Kerr was winning and doing all the same things. But that job with those star players, man, is on autopilot. All you got to do is manage the relationships and the personalities.
Look what Luke Walton did when he took over.
I was just about to say, Luke Walton and Coach Brown. Coach Brown went undefeated. He should get another job.
And Coach Brown did some of it during the playoffs. You're talking about Mike Brown, who took
Mike
over
Brown,
Steve Kerr at the back end.
Yeah.
Well, what happened to Luke Walton, though? I mean,
I know that, but at Golden State, what I'm saying is he had all those superstars, so it was sort of autopilot. Me and you could coach the damn Golden State Warriors. Come on now.
I
with
hear
them
you.
Dudes.
I'm just
a couple X's and O's and tell them to stop arguing and sit your butt down, Draymond, and then you can win.
All right. Just saying, you yell Draymond. Draymond going to yell right back at you.
I can manage Draymond.
I think it's easier than it looks. It's easier than
break,
it looks.
We need to break, man. Stop talking.
All right.
Come on, man.
And by the way, Draymond and Steve Kerr at the victory celebration, that was not as easy as it looks. That's for sure. Still to come on the way, Jay Will and LeBron.
Ooh.
You might have heard about it yesterday. What are Jay's thoughts this morning? Jay putting it out there, the king firing back. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And we're going to go from A to Z, and then we're going to run through LeBron James comments with Jay Williams. We'll have A to Z here just in just a little bit. All right, so the big story yesterday in the NBA obviously was the hiring of Steve Nash's head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. We're going to talk about it all morning long, including with the guy that pulled the trigger, made the decision, GM Sean Marks. He'll join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line at 7:40 a.m. Eastern. There is a train of thought, certainly plausible, that essentially KD wanted it, and whatever KD wants, KD gets. There certainly is. Yes, that
exactly.
Certainly is. If you want to brass,
we'll talk about that too later in the show.
Right. If you certainly want to brass tax it, that certainly is a way you can look at it. Okay, so yesterday, Richard Jefferson essentially said when the Bucks found themselves down 2-0 to the Miami Heat coming off that devastating loss with Butler's two free throws, Jefferson basically said, I'm going to put it out there, tweeting, Giannis might be a Pippen. There, I said it. He needs his Jordan. Affixed to that was a video on his tweet of Scottie Pippen sitting on the Bulls bench in his heyday, putting his foot in the air, showing he's wearing a pair of Air Jordans. So it all begins. Giannis might be a Pippen. There I said it. He needs his Jordan. Jay Will responded, so LeBron was a Pippen with D Wade once. Nothing wrong with that until you get over the hump. Referencing LeBron, of course, going to Miami. The King responds to Jay Will. Explain to me what the blank I got to do with this subject matter. I'm over here minding my damn business, preparing for Houston. And by the way, I ain't ever been nobody but my damn self. And then he's got the emoji of a crown and then another four-letter word. And since I like working here, I won't say it. And then, Jay, you responded to LeBron.
Yeah, so what happened was, LeBron, and we know you kick everything off with that line. Here's my thing. What I was mentioning is that when LeBron came to Miami, LeBron was a better player than D. Wade. I was not referencing that D. Wade was better than LeBron. But there were moments during that first season where LeBron deferred to D. Wade. Okay? That defer mentality at that time for LeBron, by the way, when he was 26 years old, is not stating that LeBron was physically Pippen. I'm just saying that he deferred a little bit during that season. We watched the whole season. I watched it. The next season is when you felt like that was LeBron's team. There was no more deferring. Now, I'm sure D-Wade was like, LeBron, don't defer to me. Do your thing. LeBron became LeBron when they won that championship. He became the king, right? He was already on his way to becoming the king. And then he took over the mantle, 2012, 2013, boom, into where he is today. First off, me comparing LeBron to Scottie Pippen, that is not an insult. I'm comparing you at 26 years old to a six-time world champion, a top 50 greatest player of all time.
All time.
Of all time at 26 years old, okay? I'm comparing. And first off, when LeBron came to Miami, he wasn't Michael Jordan at that time. He was an incredible, gifted player, maybe on his way to becoming one of the best, but he wasn't considered to be the best, okay? He matured and evolved into the best. I've also been the person, which turns into fights on the street, that I think LeBron James is the best player to ever play the game. To ever play the game. So just to clarify the point, there's nothing wrong with LeBron at that stage being a little bit like Scottie Pippen at that juncture and then maturing and evolving into Michael Jordan, because I feel like that's where he is. Does that clarify it, hopefully, for people?
What are you looking at me for?
Key rendered speechless. First time in history.
I look at it. Look, man. First of all, Scottie Pippen is one of the top 50 basketball players, right? I mean, he's Scottie Pippen.
Of all time.
Of all time.
Yes.
Everybody got to have somebody to win a championship.
Agreed.
Right? Everybody mm-hmm. does. And this whole conversation is about surrounding around Giannis, basically. At the end of the day, Giannis, to us, from our eyes, what we're looking at, doesn't look like he has a second guy to help him win a championship in Milwaukee. King James took his team in his fourth year in the NBA at 23 years old, I think that was the age, to the championship, to the final. They lost. He was young. He was taking me's and you's to a championship.
Let's
on
remember,
his back.
Drafted in high school out of 03
yes.
in the finals
yes.
yep.
4 years
yes.
later.
Yes.
4 years out
That's
of high
incredible.
School in
yes.
the finals on his back.
On his back. So the whole Pippen argument is not even there. That's not even there. Then you fast forward, you look at it, and you say, will anybody ever go play in Cleveland with LeBron? No. No big-time free agent is going to go to Cleveland and play with LeBron because they are free agents at a big-time are attracted to large metropolitan cities, the Chicagos, the LAs, the New Yorks of the world. That's what they want to do. They want to go to the Miami's big cities. LeBron James takes his talents to Miami because he can't even get anybody to come to Cleveland to play with him no matter how great he was. This is the same problem that Giannis is going to have where you look up in Giannis, and I said this before, best destination is probably to go to Miami and play with Jimmy Butler because that's a second guy that he can have. It's not that he can't win a championship by himself. It's hard to do by us. Everybody, I don't know a guy that's won by themselves. Who? Michael Jordan needed Scottie. We can go on and on, whether it's Kobe and Shaq or Kobe and Powell or Dwayne and LeBron and KD and Curry. And you got to have somebody. But I think because you piggybacked essentially off of what Richard said, Richard Jefferson, you kind of got lost. Your conversation got lost with his.
And you and I, we know how this goes. We know that when your boys come up to you, I'm not saying I know how it happened, but I've had this happen to me. People come up to me like, yo, look what blah, blah said. And you see the sound bite. You don't actually hear the discussion about it. You respond. So look, Skip Bayless. I'm not going back at LeBron and back and forth. Like,
no.
I have respect for LeBron James, right? Like, I've done stuff with him. I respect him for his person and definitely respect him for the groundwork that he's laid to becoming, in my opinion, the best of all time, regardless of whether people disagree with that or not. All I was saying is when you go back to that first season, LeBron James was a dominant player. But when it felt like it came down to the clutch, like taking those clutch shots, like you felt like he deferred at times to Dwayne Wade.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But then again, and I know you told me to get out of here, Evan, but then again, LeBron James makes the right plays.
Yes.
He's not selfish.
But
he makes the right basketball play to defer to Dwayne Wade. We've seen that throughout his career. When people say he won't take the shot, it's not that he won't take the shot. He knows what he's doing.
Well, thank you, Keyshawn, because that's the point right there, right?
Oh,
Michael Jordan You make a great point. Right. Michael Jordan didn't make the right play. Michael Jordan took the last shot regardless of who the hell was on him.
And Kobe,
he was going to get that shot, and Kobe did
and
it
Kobe
too, right?
Used to
so
do
people
it
used to always say, like, oh, LeBron, you got it. That was the whole thing back then. You got to take that shot. You know, sometimes the fourth shot for you is better than the open shot for somebody
not
else.
Not if you're making the right play. Come on, man. We got to get out of here.
Yeah, real quick.
So all
remember,
I'm saying, yes, it's just that's what I'm saying.
Fair enough. It's just a point of reference to remember that players aren't going to go play anywhere. They all thought they were all going to come play for Jordan when Jordan took over Charlotte.
Alone,
not a single person.
Oh, I left him alone last night. I ain't trying to poke that bear.
He better leave LeBron alone.
His ass right alone. I say, all right, LBJ, I'm going to respond and I'm going to lay out. Like, I understand my place. I'm cool.
The King Jameses are coming to get you.
And, oh, by the way, on Jordan on the last play, as Doug Collins, our old colleague here, used to say, when it was Michael in the last play, I'd basically go take my dry erase board and say, give the ball to Michael and get the hell out of the way.
Get out of the way.
That's
get
basically way. What we did. Once again, need a part for your car, need it fast. AutoZone has more ways for you to get it, however you want it, like free next-day delivery or free same-day pickup, in-store or curbside. The choice is up to you. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone, still to come. Yesterday, sure, you probably heard it, Cam was named the Pat starter. But something else more important happened to Cam yesterday. Did you hear about this? We'll have that for you next.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
More Pats Talk now with our Mike Reese, covers the team 24/7, 365 for ESPN, and he joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. So, Mike, big thing here, no huge surprise, obviously, that Cam was named the starter. Tell us why he eventually did pull away and get the job. Again, no surprise, but more importantly, my eyebrows were raised when he was named a team captain after being with the organization for just a handful of weeks.
Yeah, and that's really a great point, because I think we all expected after the first week of training camp that Cam was going to be the starter. You saw him pull away when Jarrett Stidham went to a local hospital and had tests on his leg that ultimately were negative, but that sort of changed the way the reps were distributed in practice. They were going split three ways at the start of training camp, and then when Stidham went to the hospital, it opened the door for Cam, and he sort of took over from there. The captaincy is the most interesting thing, because if you go to Bill Belichick's 21 years as Patriots coach, there's not another example of a player signing less than 2 months ago and becoming a captain. And that speaks to the impact he's made in a short time here.
Starting quarterback, Mike, obviously that was not a surprise, as Zubin said. When you look at it, though, in the locker room, team captain, not a surprise to me at all either. Here's a surprise. Who in the hell is Cam going to throw the ball to other than Julian Edelman?
That's a great question, Keyshawn, and they have a lot of questions there. I mean, at receiver, N'Keal Harry, their first-round pick from last year, 32nd overall, they're going to need more from him as a complement to Julian Edelman. And let's also point out, Edelman's coming off shoulder and knee surgeries, and he's been in and out of practice in training camp sort of to try to preserve him at 34 years old now. So we can't just sort of assume like he's going to be there all the time, right? Like they're trying to manage him through. Damir Bird, a free agent signing, formerly of the Panthers and Cardinals, looks like he might be a speed option, a third guy alongside Edelman and Harry. And then they really have a lot of, well, maybe it's this guy, maybe it's that guy in the fourth, fifth receiver spots, Keyshawn. So between that and a changing picture at tight end, where, of course, we're 2 years removed now from having Rob Gronkowski in New England. They have a couple rookies. They might need to rely on a running game and an offensive line to sort of, you know, create the foundation with Cam there at quarterback.
Mike, feels like it's a race between the Patriots and the Bills in the AFC East. What about their defense? A lot of guys have opted out. What can we expect from their defense?
Well, the secondary is the strength, with Stephon Gilmore, the reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year, back at corner. And they have a lot of different pieces in the secondary to match up to a lot of the different types of challenges they'll face from opposing offenses. The questions are in the front seven. You make a great point. They had eight players opt out, an NFL high of this season, and Dante Hightower, the linebacker, is probably the biggest one across the NFL. So the questions in the front seven at linebacker, defensive line, those sort of loom for the Patriots in a season of incredible personnel change, and that's going to be an area to watch defensively.
What's the latest update on Damian Harris, who missed practice? I guess he got a little boo-boo on the hand.
That's right. You know, Keyshawn, so he had one of the best camps, a running back, third-round pick last year out of Alabama. College football fans remember him. And he was vying for a top role at running back, and he's threatened to miss the opener and possibly more than that with a hand injury. So they have Sony Michel at running back. They have Rex Burkhead. They have James White, the passing back. Lamar Miller they brought in. He's vying to make the team. But that's an early injury at a position that looked like it was going to be a strength for them at running back with all the other questions on offense. But now you're dealing with that.
Our Mike Reese, ESPN Patriots reporter, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and my man Zubin. Let me ask you this: I'll be a Patriot fan right now. As a Patriot fan, what are the real expectations on the W side for this team?
Well, so I guess the question would be: is it internal expectations? Because you know this from having played for Bill Belichick. The next time that he lowers the expectation will be the first, right? I mean, for him, this is the same as it's always been. I'd say externally, obviously, there's been a lot of change for the Patriots. This isn't the same Patriots teams that we've seen in the past. So I think there is a thought that, hey, the Bills are coming here in the AFC East, and this is going to be a real fight for the Patriots to win the AFC East division, which they've dominated over the last decade.
Indeed, Mike, they've won it for the last 11 years, 11 consecutive years winning the AFC East. They'll open with the AFC East. They'll take on the Dolphins at Foxborough on September 13th. We know you'll be there. They're going to be a huge story this year, even though they've lost the NFL's best player over the last 20 years. That's just the Pats keeping on rolling. Brady out, Cam in. Mike, we'll have you back in shortly. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Mike.
So here's the deal. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. On the surface, the Bills are the trendy, sexy pick. Obviously, the Pats, I did mention, won the division 11 consecutive years. Guys, I'm just looking at the Dolphins and the Pats for the opener. Sure, that's just game one. I'm just looking at the Pats' first 10 games. We've always talked about key. You know, the guys have said the Pats really turn it on in December. We know what kind of team they are at the end of the season while they spend the first month sort of figuring it out, but figuring it out with wins. These are just some of the teams they're going to play in their first 10 games with Cam and a brand new personnel scheme, as Mike said. Seahawks on the road.
Ooh.
Chiefs on the road. 49ers.
No fans in either one of those tough stadiums.
Correct.
Right, but still two really good teams.
Right. 49ers, obviously, were in the Super Bowl last year. That'll be at home.
Wait, those are the first three games?
No, these are among some of the games in their first 10 weeks. If you want to know specifically, it's Seahawks week two, and then they'll take on the Chiefs a couple weeks later. Then a couple weeks after that, they'll welcome the 49ers. Just think about the schedule. And then the next week, the Buffalo Bills in Orchard Park, the team that everybody says could perhaps take them out. And then November 15th, we're still in the first 10 games, they'll host the Baltimore Ravens. And then the next week, they'll go play the Houston Texans. That's just some of the opposition in the first 10 weeks of this season. Key, what do you think?
That's tough, but obviously we're here in different times, so football will look different. Preparation will be a little bit different. Teams, it's going to be interesting to see, though, because next week will tell me a lot, September 10th, on opening day, what football is going to look like. you know, just based on everything. You got a lot of teams, a lot of players opting out. Mindsets are different. It's a tough schedule. New England never really – they all – you look at the division has always been a cakewalk for them. And then when they get outside division, the Baltimores, the Houstons, the Kansas Cities, the Denvers have always played them traditionally tough. Miami's always given them a run for their money and played them tough. So, you know, this is a new team, a new situation, a new quarterback. The first couple weeks of the season will tell you what type of team they're going to have in the end.
It's going to be interesting to watch how Cam acclimates to everything that's happening in those first couple of weeks. But I will say this. I was going to say this to you, Key, because you like big, strong quarterbacks. How about a quarterback who's 6'5", 240 pounds, and Josh Allen, right? Like, now, he's extremely talented, but he's very volatile. So the big question is, in this year of his deal, what kind of quarterback are you getting? Are you getting a guy that actually, when he throws under 50% completion rate, they were 0-4 last year? Like, are you getting that player? Or are you getting the guy who actually is precise and is going through his progressions and hitting people on his targets and getting a team that is actually hitting their full potential? That's the biggest question as you worry about the Bills, right?
Well, Brandon Beam, who's the general manager up there, who I know really, really good, he likes him. He likes the quarterback. He thinks he has some potential. They went out there and they got Stephon Diggs from the Minnesota Vikings. They got shut down corner. The defense is ridiculous. They like to play defense and run the ball. They're not asking him to be Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. They're asking him to just be the guy that don't screw it up because of the style of play. Like I always tell you, they want to run the ball and they want to play defense. That's their philosophy in great special teams. So if he can manage that and do that well, then Buffalo has a chance to really put New England on the ropes.
Keep in mind also one underrated thing about Buffalo people don't talk about, because it's Buffalo and people don't talk about it because it's all about the Pats. Their general manager head coach structure is aligned in a way most teams in the NFL are not. Key, you know this from playing with Carolina in your career, but Brandon Bean came from the Carolina Panthers.
My
Sean
boy.
McDermott was with the Carolina Panthers as well. It's just common sense that you would think the 32 NFL teams would say, let's have a general manager that's in lockstep with my head coach. So when we're doing personnel, when we're doing drafting, when we're bringing dudes in on Tuesday to figure out who the kicker is going to be because we're going to cut them tomorrow, you would think about the fact that those guys would want to be aligned. But there are so many organizations in the NFL where the general manager and the head coach are in completely different planes. So I do think part of Buffalo's success has to do with that synergy there.
Well, that's true. You look at the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
Kyle Shanahan and my ex-teammate John Lynch.
And John played for Kyle's dad.
John played for Kyle's dad. Kyle was with us at Tampa as a quality control guy. So it's kind of relationship driven, and that's the way you need things to be successful.
It's just so fascinating that in a year of COVID, you have 8 players opt out on the Pats defense, and their defense held – you know, was the best defense in that division last year. And now you all of a sudden you have the Bills do this. I mean, their defense is great anyway, but I'm just saying, like, how quickly COVID can just change the situation and the team structure.
You know, I don't, for whatever reason, I don't worry about New England's defense because the guy who puts that defense together is still coaching. And that's Bill Belichick and his two sons. And they're there. So if you, as Bill famously says, just do your job. Mm-hmm. If you do your job, they'll be fine. If I tell you to drop a certain way 8 yards from the line of scrimmage, just drop 8 yards. I don't need you to drop 5. I don't need you to drop 10. I want you to do 8. And if you do it and everything is in sync, you won't see people bust. You won't see guys running wide open. And that's what New England has been able to always do their job.
That's a great point. To Jay's point, how are teams adjusting to all this in the age of COVID? ESPN NFL insider Diana Russini will answer that exact question with us at 7:20 a.m. Eastern. She's plugged in all around the league, and preparedness is becoming a big issue. Here's a big issue. For the last 20 years, the answer has been pretty obvious, give or take. The goal is to win the Super Bowl, and they've hoisted quite a few Lombardis for sure.
Are you sure that's the goal?
That's what I'm about to ask you, actually. Now, with Brady out, Gronk out, Cam in, what does qualify as a successful season for New England? I think we knew previously what the answer was, but what is it now?
One game at a time. We're moving on. That's what they.
Let me see if Cincinnati's on the schedule.
That's a Bill Belichick answer. I'm looking for the Keyshawn Johnson answer.
Look, my expectations is high for them because I trust the coach, and I trust the healthy quarterback in Cam. I've seen Cam work wonders with a bunch of me's and you's in Carolina.
Just get to the playoffs.
And he has no real weapons. You heard Mike Reese talk about Julian Edelman coming off surgery, in and out of the practice lineup. N'Keal Harry, don't really know what he is. He's got to take the next step. I've seen Cam work wonders with nothing in Carolina. When healthy, you go back to 2018 when he was healthy, he was having a great season, man. People look at 2019, the beginning of the year, and him, he's struggling. He's done. It's like, no, you just got to let him get healthy like you let everybody else get healthy. When these other quarterbacks get healthy, y'all say they're going to have good years. Why can't he? Why can't he be the Superman and put the team on his back and continue to do things? Buffalo's really the only team in the division that the New York Jets are gross, okay? Miami Dolphins are gross. They're giving players away down there. So you got really one team that you need to kind of handle, and that would be Buffalo. And you own Buffalo. Like, you really legitimately own them. They're worse than little brother, right? They're just like a friend that you let stay at the house here and there. And that's the truth. Why are you laughing?
No, I've never heard that analogy before. Just a
friend. I got a whole bunch of them.
I know you do. The keyisms.
That's who they are. And if until you allow them to beat you, their confidence is going to always be when they walk into Foxborough or when you get off that bus, they know that New England Patriots is coming, whether Tom Brady is on the field or not. They just replaced them with a former MVP in Cam Newton. And if Cam is healthy, it's a different situation.
Let's qualify that, though. So on November 1st, Pats at Bills. That could be a huge fulcrum game in the division. And
what did you just throw out there?
It's the game that could kind of...
You and them words, man. I got to get it.
I just looked at you with a blank stare. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I mean, I'm not dumb. I'm not stupid. But you make me feel like, jeez.
What was the word you used again?
Fulcrum.
Come on, Z.
It's the game that teetotals on either side, right?
Okay, no, our
either way.
No, right our there. Audience. Come on.
Okay. I'm going to write that one. How do you spell that? Is that fulcrum?
Okay.
Two syllables?
Last thing from an ironic standpoint, I want to ask you about how good can Cam be, because you brought that up. Remember the injury that really set Cam off, that Lisfranc, that foot injury that kind of marred everything last season? That happened while he was a member of the Panthers playing against the Patriots. So it's kind of come full circle that he was there playing the Pats, had the injury in the preseason. Do you remember that? Came against New England, that essentially ended his tenure for the most part in Carolina, and now he's with New England. You said it. When he's healthy, it's different. He's the 2015.
I love you, Zubin. Only you would tie that together like that. That was incredible.
Did I do that simply enough? No big words on that?
I
got all that.
It was a hell of a tie-in together.
But to your point, 2015 MVP, and I understand the NFL, 5 years, 2015, 2020. That might as well be 25 years, 5 years in the NFL. But he was as good as a player has been at that position in that year when they went 15-1. 5 years later, you're saying if he's healthy, giant qualifier, giant if. If he's healthy, just how good can he be? You said good.
I think you could see a 2015 type Cam Newton.
Really?
I really do. And that is because Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator, and Bill Belichick, the head coach, understand what Cam Newton is as a player. They understand he has a lot of different gifts. It's not just his arm strength and his size. He has the ability to run the football. It gives them an opportunity to do some things that they were not able to do within their playbook with Tom Brady over the last 20 years. It's not that he's better than Tom Brady, because I know some of those people up in Boston are here this and be like, and start to think that. That's not what I'm saying. He's different. It will allow them to do things to get him out on the perimeter, to buy extra time for the receivers to get open. Boots, waggles, half row throwbacks, things that Tom Brady probably didn't do as well. When coaches get new players that they could, like, all of a sudden sit in the room with, it's like having a new toy. It's like, oh my God, we couldn't run the zone read with Tom. We wanted to do it, but it wasn't something that we could do. Now, guess what we could do? We can run the zone read. He can pull it out of the belly. He can roll out. He can throw the ball down the field. It's just a different type of situation.
The optionality that you have with Cam due to that size and that frame in the red zone is going to be dangerous.
Real quick, I just want to mention for those at home, fulcrum, a thing that plays a central or essential role in an activity event or situation.
I'm not, Zubin.
Just qualify.
I'm not preparing for the SAT.
I feel like I am.
I'm not. That's over. That's out of my life.
I feel like I am.
Give
when I'm
me
on the show.
Simple.
You could be so good on the verbal portion of the SAT. If you just came up with the fulcrum. Okay, listen.
I already went to college and got a degree. I'm good.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. That includes Diana Rossini, our NFL insider. Much more NFL talk. We're less than a week away from the start of the season at 7:20 a.m. Eastern, and then the big one. Sean Marks, as soon as Steve Nash got hired yesterday in Brooklyn, Jay, I was sitting here, socially distant, of course, from Jay. He got right on his phone, texted Sean Marks, and essentially said, we need you to come on this program, and he will. Straight talk, wireless, no contract, no compromise. Jay, we got about 30 seconds to go.
Yeah, boy,
what's the number one thing you want to ask Sean Marks?
Just ultimately, why Steve Nash? Why Steve Nash? Was it a Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving decision? Obviously, I know it was his involvement, Sean Marks, the GM, with Joe Tsai, the owner. But how did you come to the ultimate idea that Steve Nash is going to be the guy to lead us to a championship in the next couple of years?
And then 20 minutes after Sean Marks joins us, the guy that essentially broke the story, Woj, and then spoke to Sean Marks on the Woj podcast, which you can download right now anywhere you get podcasts. Woj will be here. So if you love basketball, 7:40 Sean Marks, how did we get Steve Nash, Durant, KD, and then Adrian Wojnarowski, who broke the story. That's on the way. But at the top of the hour, we won't make you wait any longer. That's the big question. It's a simple question. Why Steve Nash? Complex answer. That's on the way. Key, Jay and Z.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.